From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudet. It's Idaho Matters. And it is time, once again, for our very favorite segment, What to Watch. We are here every other Thursday with the one and only Boise State Public Radio movie critic, George Prentice, who just happens to spend a little of his free time hosting Morning Edition. Hi, George. How are you?
Hi, Sam.
So what are we talking about today? You have some really good stuff.
I want to talk about the nose.
Ooh, the nose.
I'm going to start with a quote. A great nose is the banner of a great man, a generous heart, a towering spirit, an expensive soul. So classic, so wonderful, so Cyrano, right?
Nice.
That was Edmund Rosalind's hero with the prodigious proboscis.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But we want to talk a little bit about prosthetics and how they have contributed in some of cinema's great performances, including, by the way, Jose Ferrer, who won the Oscar for playing Cyrano back in the early 50s. But if you think about history and the famous actors who have worn fake noses and have gone on to win Oscars, Robert De Niro in Raging Bull, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right? Nicole Kidman in The Hours, right, when she played Virginia Woolf. Lee Marvin in Cat Ballou.
Nice.
And, of course, Meryl Streep in Iron Lady with the fake nose when she played Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Yet, I cannot think of a time when so much ink has been spilled over a nose as the recent uproar over the trailer that has just been released of the much-anticipated Maestro, written, directed, and starring Bradley Cooper as Leonard Bernstein. Cooper's prosthetic appears to be, I think it's fair to say, extreme, triggering what the BBC called a nose row, and The Hollywood Reporter's Daniel Feinberg to say that Cooper's prosthetic is problematic.
Oh.
And Cooper, Bradley Cooper is not Jewish. He said Cooper portraying Bernstein was ethnic cosplay.
Ooh.
So for the record, Leonard Bernstein's survivors, his children, have come to Bradley Cooper's defense, and they said, this is so okay with us. But this brings me to a brand new movie that's about to open called Golda, another much-anticipated film, starring Helen Mirren as Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir, and we can see that at the Flicks. Dame Helen Mirren, by the way, not Jewish, also caught a bit of flack recently when another dame of the British stage, actress Maureen Lipman, who is Jewish, pushed back against Helen Mirren's casting, quote, because Golda Meir's Jewishness is integral and the correct ethnicity should be a priority. So for the record, I 100% respect Maureen Lipman's argument, but I also 100% loved this movie and Helen Mirren's performance in Golda. And by the way, also for the record, Golda is directed by an Oscar-winning director, Guy Nativ, who is both Jewish and Israeli. The screenplay was penned by Nicholas Barton, who has worked for years with UK Jewish film. And finally, for the record, never have I ever talked about ethnicity in film criticism as I have just here with this business about the nose. So apart from, you know, the makeup, Helen Mirren's near perfect incarnation, by the way. Have you seen the photos? Have you seen?
I have seen the trailers.
The voice, et cetera.
I mean, if you've seen Golda Meir.
Right.
And if you see Helen Mirren playing Golda Meir, it's uncanny.
And you're thinking, it's like, who is that, right?
Yeah.
It's that good. So Golda Meir, one of modern history's most conflicted leaders. This film also, by the way, showcases another strong performance from Liev Schreiber. So you may remember about a year and a half ago, I spent some time with Liev Schreiber in Sun Valley.
Yep.
And at the time, he was showcasing some other films and talking about Ray Donovan, of course. And I asked him, I said, so what are you working on next? And he said, well, I'm currently filming a movie where I play Henry Kissinger. And here it is. And so he plays Henry Kissinger in Golda. And by the way, this film is not like this sweeping biopic of Golda Meir's life. It is the strength of this film, I think, is that it's in a very particular slice of time.
It's a chunk of time.
It's an intense focus on Golda Meir's final days as prime minister. And because, and I don't think this is any big secret, cancer has riddled her body. She was a lifelong smoker. And so this is also the final days of her life. In October of 1973, some of us may remember this, under cover of darkness on Israel's holiest day, and during the month of Ramadan, the combined forces of Egypt, Syria, and Jordan launched a surprise attack on the Sinai Peninsula and the Golan Heights. And we know this now as the Yom Kippur War. Mm-hmm. So Israel was outnumbered, and Meir was forced to confront this clear and present danger on the battlefield. Also, concurrently, she is surrounded by infighting by an all-male cabinet. Meanwhile, Henry Kissinger is begging her to temper any dramatic retaliation against Egypt. So here is a slice of Liev Schreiber as Henry Kissinger and Helen Mirren as Golda Meir, and he's on the phone with her, and he's trying to basically, he's mansplaining her, but of course she has an amazing comeback.
Madam Prime Minister, in terms of our work together, I think it's important that you remember that I am first an American, second I am Secretary of State, and third, I am a Jew.
You forget that in Israel we read from right to left.
it's a perfect. If you remember, this was an awful conflict.
Yep.
But at a certain point, Israel was about to get the upper hand. So Kissinger flew to Israel for what he thought would be official talks, but instead, Golda Meir treats Kissinger as if he's a grandson. She takes him to her home. She feeds him soup and provides hospitality. And then they sit down, and he's begging her, do not come back too hard, because by now Russia is threatening to back Egypt and Syria with weapons and possibly nuclear weapons. Mm. And Kissinger is saying, oh, do you realize what you could run into if Russia gets involved here? Let's listen.
The Russians are on high alert. They are preparing 11 airborne divisions, do you understand?
Do you think I don't know that? Let me tell you
about the Russians, Henry. When I was a child in Ukraine, at Christmas time, my father would
board up the windows of our house.
Golda.
To protect
us from Cossacks who would get drunk and attack Jews. They would beat Jews to death in the street for fun. My father would hide us in the cellar, and we'd stay silent, hoping the killers would pass us by. My father's face, Henry.
I will never forget that look. All he wanted was to protect his children.
I am not that little girl hiding in the cellar.
So now you're going to fight with the Russians too, huh?
You must choose, Henry.
Side with me, or I will create an army of orphans and widows.
This is not the way to...
I will slaughter them all. Whose side are you on? You must choose.
Golda.
Please
think about it. Goodbye, Mr. Secretary.
Wow.
Whoa.
Right?
That's intense.
Wow. So, and just like that, Helen Mirren doesn't just look like Golda Meir.
Oh, man.
She is Golda Meir.
Right?
The movie is Golda. It plays at the Flicks. I thought this was going to be pretty good. It is great. Where did this movie? It came out of nowhere. This is an Oscar caliber performance from Helen Mirren, who of course already has one on the shelf. But let's not forget about Golda. And if you are a student of world history, or if you just love film, this is a really great one. This far exceeded my expectations. I highly recommend Golda.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've only seen the trailer I'd recommend it. So,
it's great.
What else you got on for me here? We got some good stuff today.
Yeah. I got a documentary for you, something that our listeners can see at home. It is called Poisoned. It comes from the filmmaker Stephanie Sostig, who did a film a few years ago called The Devil We Know, about a documentary about the key ingredient used in Teflon. Here it is about, the the grab-and-go food that we get at the supermarket. And it's a pretty stunning indictment of that industry, let's just put it that way, and what we think is safe. Let's listen.
We have by far the safest food supply in the entire world.
The safest food supply in the world.
Let's remember one thing. We have the safest food supply in the world right here in the U.S.
It's laughable. We don't have the safest food system in the world.
Cut fruit, cut cantaloupe, strawberries, caramel apples, tomatoes, onions, chicken. All these products are likely contaminated.
It is a very scary situation where you have a perfectly healthy 17-year-old female, and 48 hours later, she's dying.
It was an absolute nightmare. It was definitely from E. coli.
If I buy chicken at the grocery store, should I assume it's safe for me?
Your primary assumption should be that it contains pathogens such as Salmonella and Campylobacter.
Wow. So the food industry in the U.S., this film investigates how its systemic fractures lead to these outbreaks of foodborne pathogens. And we report these every day, Sam, right? These outbreaks of E. coli or Salmonella, this is important to note. There are up to 36 outbreaks in the U.S. every 7 days.
Sorry, can I just apologize right now for everybody eating lunch?
Well,
sorry.
We're talking about 48 million Americans that are affected every year.
That's incredible.
Right. But for goodness sakes, what's the takeaway here? It's not, don't buy these things. For goodness sakes, are you not washing the food?
Oh, my gosh.
Are you not washing the food before you eat it when you bring it home?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It is called Poisoned. It's currently running on Netflix. It is a superb documentary, Poisoned, the Dirty Truth About Your Food.
Okay. Well, on that depressing note, what else do you have?
Finally, I have one of my not just current favorite series, but one of my favorite series of all time, and that is Unforgotten. For goodness sakes, there are so many police procedurals on American and British television. And a few of them are about cold cases. Well, the gold standard, I believe, has always been Unforgotten because the investigators on this series, it is about a respect and a love for people who have passed sometimes generations ago. And it is their passion to give that body the respect that it deserves and bring some people to justice. So Unforgotten has been running for 4 seasons on British television, and goodness knows it is a huge, big hit here in the U.S. on Masterpiece, on public television. Well, season 5 is about to drop. I'm lucky enough, I've seen all of season 5,
Ooh.
But let me remind our listeners where we were when season 4 ended. The star of Unforgotten, Nicola Walker, the great actress Nicola Walker, her role, Cassie Stewart, she was the DCI, chief inspector, detective chief inspector. Her character was hit in a car crash. She was put on life support and she died. And not only, was she, the soul of this series, but she was a tortured soul. And so there was also some peace to her character's rest, if you will. But that's where we left it in season 4. And her colleague, DCI Sammy Kahn, this is how we left it in season 4 when he's taking flowers to her grave.
So we've come together today to say, all of us in our different ways, goodbye to our beloved Cass. It's not my place to talk about her as a mum, or as a daughter, or as a partner. I'm here today to talk about her as my colleague, as a police officer. And on that front, I can say, without a scintilla of doubt, that she was the best I've ever met. And it didn't matter if you were a victim of crime or had taken the wrong path yourself. she treated you the same. Her place was not to judge, it was to pursue the truth. And she did that, affording everyone she interacted with the same honesty, good manners, and unfailing fairness. Some of that decency was innate. Some of it was learned from the people who taught her. But what it undoubtedly was precious and rare. Cass Stewart was my colleague. She was my mentor. She was my friend. And I loved her.
So the question is, can a series survive when a beloved character dies? And I think of MASH when Henry Blake was killed.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? And McLean Stevenson left the show. Well, MASH did go on, but the casting is very important. So in season 5, there's a new actress who comes in to play a new DCI. And she is not, it's very difficult to like this person. But we learn what her demons are too. So I'm here to tell you that season 5 of Unforgotten is about to come to public television and Masterpiece on Sunday, September 3rd. Do not miss it. It is one of the not just best police procedurals or even dramas. It is one of the best series on television today. Unforgotten Season 5 returns to PBS on September 3rd.
Wow. Okay. Quite a lineup today, George.
Thanks so much, Sam.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.